So when Pastor Jonathan first invited me to speak, he gave me a few suggestions. I could focus on the topic of Christmas, because this week is the first week of Advent, about hope. I could share a recent spiritual encounter or a testimony from the past. I could explore a Bible passage in greater details, just as I have to do for my written assignments. For the last 2 years, I have been studying theology, one paper per semester, at Carey Baptist College. I studied the book of Romans in the second half of this year, hence why I picked Romans 1 and 12 for today. Before we move on to discuss the scriptures, does anyone recognize the title of this sermon? No worship without the Holy Spirit. It actually comes from this devotional book, which incorporates A.W. Tozer's thoughts on the Holy Spirit. To be precise, October 16th. So when I came across the title, I thought it was perfect because I was originally going to title it Worship with the Holy Spirit. Let me read to you what Tozer had to say about this. We find much of spiritual astonishment and wonder in the book of Acts. You will always find these elements present when the Holy Spirit directs believing men and women. On the other hand, you will not find astonished wonder among men and women when the Holy Spirit is not present. Engineers can do many great things in their fields, but no mere human force or direction can work the mysteries of God among men. If there is no wonder, no experience of mystery, our efforts to worship will be futile. There will be no worship without the Spirit. So here, Tozer is obsessed with the wonders and awe that comes with the Holy Spirit. It is true, when ordinary acts are graced by the Spirit, it can become extraordinary. Yet worship is not only about the extraordinary, which is like the icing on top of a cake, but the cake itself is the ordinary actions and behaviors in our daily lives. Worship and conduct intertwined. Let us go to the passage we have read earlier. Romans 1:21. This is the ESV version. For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, but they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Therefore, God gave them up in the lust of their hearts to impurity, to the dishonoring of their bodies among themselves. Because they exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator. And since they did not see fit to acknowledge God, God gave them up to a debased mind to do what ought not to be done. They were filled with all manner of unrighteousness, evil, covetousness, malice. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, maliciousness. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, foolish, faithless, heartless, ruthless. Wow, Paul is not holding back any punches. I think none of us would like to be associated with this list. Our reputation and credibility will go down the drain. So who is the Apostle Paul speaking to and referring to here? He's speaking to the churches in Rome, which is composed of both Jews and Gentiles. And he's accusing the Gentiles, the non-Jews, for being unrighteous, for worshipping idols instead of the one true God. Is Paul referring to the Gentile Christians or the non-Christian Gentiles? Maybe both. Regardless, Paul was quick to warn the Jewish Christian not to judge because they do the very same thing. In Romans 2 verse 1, "Therefore you have no excuse, O man, every one of you who judges, for in passing judgment on another, you condemn yourself, because you, the judge, practice the very same things." So in contrast to Romans 1, Paul exhorts all Christians to follow the right style of worship, which he describes in Romans 12, 1-2. "I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God." The "therefore" shows that in the preceding 11 chapters, Paul has already explained the mercies of God in depth. We are all sinners, and our righteousness comes from our faith in God. In the first 11 chapters of Romans, Paul focuses predominantly on right faith or theology, while chapter 12 onwards he deals mainly with right living or Christian ethics. So Paul begins this practical session talking about spiritual worship, so worship and conduct intertwined. We have two groups of people presented by Paul. In Romans 1, misguided worship leads to darkened mind, which leads to unrighteous or unholy living. In contrast, in Romans 12, right worship leads to renewed mind, which leads to holy living, something that is pleasing to the Lord. Obviously, we should strive for the second. How? If there is no worship without the Holy Spirit, then right worship is worship with the Holy Spirit. So we need to ask ourselves, what does worship with the Holy Spirit look like? Where do we start? I think a comprehensive answer to that question can probably fill out a whole book. Thankfully, God gave me a framework to work with. Several weeks ago, I posted a poem on Facebook titled "Holy Spirit Worship." That was written in response to me asking God, what does it mean to worship with the Holy Spirit? I will not be going through the poem here, but it's separated into three parts. The first is intimacy with God. The second is about our awareness of His direction. And the third is whether or not we are willing to yield to the Holy Spirit. Only when you have an intimate relationship with the Holy Spirit can you be aware of His guidance. And only where you are aware can you choose to yield to His direction. Intimacy, awareness, yield. Worship is both intentional and spontaneous. We're intentionally building a foundation of intimacy with God through our spiritual practices such as devotion, prayers, worship, Bible study, and so forth. And spontaneous? This is about being ready to obey the prompting of the Holy Spirit and to follow His direction, even when it may be inconvenient for us, or it may make no sense to us from a human perspective, using human wisdom to judge the situation. For the rest of the time, I'll be sharing different examples from my own life. It will cover both spontaneous and intentional, both good and not so good examples. The first example is a poem I wrote for CACC during our first Christmas worship service at the end of 2018. I've altered the poem slightly, so the title is no longer Christmas is Here, but Christ is with us. And it's based on the Christmas acronym. Oh, is it working? Oh, there we go. All right, let me read it to you. Christ is here. Christ has come. Let us celebrate Christ, the cornerstone of all churches, for Christ is with us. Holy is He in the highest. Let us lift up our hands. Let us sing hallelujah like the heavenly host. Rejoice, you who have been redeemed, and reconciled through Christ. In reverent fear we praise. Let us reflect God's glory. I adore you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I give you my life, Jesus. I submit to you, Jesus. In spirit and truth, we worship you, the Messiah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Let us sing together. The second example was something small I did at work that I would not normally do, at least not unless there was a special occasion for it. I've been at my current workplace 7 years, and since COVID, the nursing staff has changed a lot with a high turnover. The most senior nurse who wanted to retire before COVID is still here, as she's constantly training the newer and younger nurses. One evening before work the next day, God placed it on my heart to do something small as a token of appreciation. So I dropped this onto the nursing desk the next morning. I would like to extend the same sentiment to all of you here today, including those joining us from online. Like any ordinary Sunday, your presence at this church is much appreciated. Thank you for attending and being part of this church. The next example takes us to Kandan in Waiata Shores, which is the one closest to my home. From time to time, I've come across various people sitting outside Kandan asking for money, some more vocal than others. Usually I ignore them. On this particular day, I feel like I should go and speak to the person. However, I did not do so initially. I came for lunch at the sushi place next to Kandan, so I thought I can decide later whether to talk to the stranger or not after I finish my meal. In the end, I left the building without speaking to the person. Yet, as I was walking further away from Kandan, I suddenly paused on the footpath, realizing I should turn around, go back and talk to the person, because that is what God wanted me to do. I was literally frozen on the spot for a few seconds as I fought a tug of war in my heart. In the end, I ignored the spirit's prompting and continued to walk home for two reasons. Firstly, I convinced myself I already have something planned for the afternoon and I've already procrastinated in the morning. Secondly, I thought I would look rather stupid if I turn around now, having just walked past the person and ignored them. So I used the excuse of being inconvenient and looking foolish in the eyes of others to ignore the spirit's call in this particular instance. To give another example as a contrast, I had another opportunity to talk to a stranger after filling my car at BP petrol station, This is the one in Ormiston. This time I follow the prompting of the Spirit and I ask permission to sit next to the person who was loitering in front of BP. He had a sign asking for monetary donation, but I did not end up giving him any because I didn't have any cash on me. Yet he was very grateful and thanked me for being willing to keep him company. I think we chatted for over 20 minutes, and he said he was surprised when I first approached him and was willing to interact with him. And this reminds me that a lot of people on the street are maybe after more than just money. Perhaps they are seeking a touch of heaven, the love of Christ and the grace that extends freely to all. For my last example, I will try to keep it brief because there are a lot of context that surrounds it. In short, I intentionally asked God for directions in many different areas of my life in February last year, one of which was the question about whether I should quit my job or not. God said yes, but only in August. Somehow, according to his timing, it would be inappropriate to resign before August or after August. My fellowship group and some of those closest to me were aware of my decision, and I had every intention to follow through. In the end, however, I did not quit my job in August. So what made me change my mind? Well, firstly, from a human perspective, it seems illogical to me to quit my job on the very same month that I bought a new house, since I now have a mortgage to consider. And secondly, I kind of wanted to avoid having lengthy conversation with my parents about my less than wise decisions in their eyes. And by the way, it was also God who dictates when I should buy my house, because he had been telling me, not yet, until May of last year when I started looking. So the impeccable timing of the two events, you know, happened together in August. Even though I disobeyed God after asking for his explicit direction, nonetheless, we know that to those who love God, all things work together for good. As mentioned in Romans 8:28, I was able to rest, to take a break, and then to recommit myself to my workplace as a doctor serving the community. Furthermore, I was able to enjoy a wonderful trip to Israel in November last year, something that I would not have considered had I not been planning to quit my job in the first place. I hope I've demonstrated some examples where I yield or did not yield to the Holy Spirit. Of course, there are also times when I was so busy or distracted or distant from God that I was not even aware of the Spirit's voice. Let us recap what we talk about today. In Romans 12, Paul mentioned that right worship leads to renewed mind, which leads to holy living. In contrast, misguided worship leads to darkened mind, which leads to unholy living. If there is no worship without the Holy Spirit, then right worship is worship with the Holy Spirit. What does worship with the Holy Spirit look like? Consider, are you intimate with the Holy Spirit? Are you aware of the guidance of the Holy Spirit? And if you are, do you yield to Him? Worship is much more than music or singing. It's about how we live our lives in our day-to-day interactions with others and with God. Worship and conduct intertwined. Right worship leads to renewed mind, which leads to the kind of holy living that God is pleased with. There is no worship without the Holy Spirit. Let us pray.